So he bought himself a voice in the United Nations, and this is what he said. If you want peace in the world, you have to bring together the religious leaders at the UN and get them to sign a declaration. So that's one of the momentums that's bringing the religious leaders together in the world is for peace, but it's the kind of peace that is going to be upheld by the United Nations. And during the same time period, the meeting that was going on in the United Nations, there was a document for global governance that was not passed, but it was handed around, it was discussed, it was the leaders of the world that were there, such as Clinton and those that were gathered, verbally supported this document for global governance, which includes a clause for a one world religion, a type of religion that includes all religions. So it has to be a new age type religion where everything is acceptable. But that's the goal of the United Nations. Ted Turner is a United Nations man, so when he's calling a meeting of 1,000 religious leaders to come together to sign peace, sign an agreement for peace in the world, it's not the type of religious meeting that is going to have any positive impact on Christianity. It's going to have a negative impact on Christianity. But it is one of the church ordinances that follows this royal edict. Now, in a further study, we're going to show you the passages in the Spirit of Prophecy where she tells us the movement for Sunday legislation is going on in darkness. So when we see, if we're going to have spiritual discernment, when we see 1,000 religious leaders from around the world coming together to talk about peace, it may not say on the headlines that the Sunday law was discussed, and it may not have been discussed, but nevertheless, based on the information available, we know that there is a movement for Sunday legislation in any type of meeting as that. Now, the great controversy, getting to the third point of that takes place as the Sunday law will come in, when secular power begins to be used to enforce religious dogmas. The Great Controversy 443 says this. But what is the image of the beast? And if you haven't considered this concept, the image of the beast, prophetically before, please pay close attention, because in Adventism there is a lot of strange ideas about what the image of the beast is. There is actually Adventists that expect some type of image to be set up, and there's just a lot, even those that aren't expecting some kind of physical image have some just off-the-wall ideas about what the image of the beast means prophetically. And there's no reason that we have to come up with these strange ideas, because Sister White tells us several places what the image of the beast is. She says it in different ways, but it's always the same thing. The image of the beast is a principle. It's the principle of using secular power to enforce